Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. I'm your host for this week, Kian Sobani, and I'm joined by Om Arvind. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Om Arvind.
Om Arvind.
Right.
Okay, so Om is making his debut this week on the podcast. We had to make some subs, some rotations. Gabe and Joshua are busy watching the Super Bowl. And Mike is out of commission tonight as well. So we're about just before 7 o'clock Eastern. So that means while I think the whole world is watching Super Bowl, and I have nothing better to do but talk about the game in Granada. So, walk us through. I know you just put up a tactical review of the match on Managing Madrid. What are your observations from this game overall?
Right. So, well, first of all, I'm just pleased we got the win. 3 points is absolutely key. And obviously, Luka Modric has that ability to just step up out of nowhere and deliver. We've seen it before, like against Manchester United. I know that's a long while ago, but you know, aside from his passing ability, his defensive capacity, we sometimes forget that he has just this amazing ability to score these wonder goals, and we saw it today. But aside from that, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm not too pleased with what happened up there today, because I think Granada, a team, you know, I get they're fighting relegation and they're going to fight with a lot of passion, but I just don't really think that they should have given us the amount of trouble that we got from them today. Like you said on your Twitter feed, that Granada were defensively very good. You know, the left wing was open for players like Ronaldo, Isco, Marcelo to take over, and we just didn't really seem to be able to get a handle on the game, which worried me. Especially since Granada's pressing, it was good, but it wasn't that organized. There were spaces to exploit, and really only Modric and sometimes Kroos was really able to exploit it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what Granada did have was aggressiveness. They were very aggressive. I thought they had some trouble channeling that aggressiveness and staying compact defensively as they bombed forward. But, you know, it doesn't mean to say that it wasn't working, because it was giving Real Madrid a lot of trouble, especially second half, right? I mean, the first half was a Carvajal, basically had that channel open anytime he wanted to. He would just bomb forward, and they weren't doing a very good job of closing that overlapping run. But the second half, I think they channeled their aggressiveness a bit better. So, I don't know, I mean, maybe we can just start from the top. You mentioned Modric. I know in the press in the post game that both him and Zidane both mentioned that Modric needs to shoot more. And when I hear that, I actually thought about that. And I realized, you know what? They're right. Modric hasn't shot much lately. And I'm thinking back to this season, I can't remember Modric shooting much. And, well, first of all, Granada gave him way too much space on the shot there. But what do you think? Do you think that's something Modric should do more? And why hasn't he been shooting more in the past?
Well, yeah, I think with the shot Modric has got, which is extremely underrated simply because he doesn't shoot as much, yeah, he definitely should be shooting more. But I think the reason as to why he doesn't shoot that much is due to the fact that there's so many other players on the pitch that have the right to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
If you look past Ronaldo and Bale and even Benzema, there's Isco, who loves to just cut inside and curl one to the far post. You have James, who's an amazing shooter. Kroos is decent. So I think Modric is shooting less because, you know, he's one of those unselfish players who always thinks about the balance of the team before he thinks about, you know, his own personal statistics. So,
right.
You know, he always looks for the pass first. Like, when Carvajal made that run, you could see Modric's gear is turning in his head. Should I pass to Carvajal? And only when Carvajal was closed down did Modric take the shot. And that, for me, just kind of typifies the kind of player he is.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And speaking of Carvajal, what were your thoughts on his performance? I know that Real Madrid did struggle to defend the wing-back position throughout the game, but I felt that it was mostly on Marcelo's side. However, there was a couple of times in the second half where Carvajal did get caught, and I think there was that one obvious play where he coughed up possession and then took the yellow card. But what were your thoughts on his performance tonight?
Well, I think offensively he provides what he always provides, and I think that's just improved over the years ever since he got game time with Leverkusen. You know, his timing of his runs up the flank are just excellent. His decision of who to cross to is also very good. But defensively, I think he still needs to be very careful. I think, you know, the kind of the atmosphere that Zidane has, he's all about attacking football. I think Madrid's fullbacks, Marcelo and Carvajal, might be getting a little carried away. They both push up together, and they both don't drop back together, and that puts a lot of pressure on Toni Kroos and the center backs. You know, Sergio Ramos and Varane had a lot of work to do today, and I think they did it very well most of the time, but I think Carvajal defensively, I think he's better than what he showed today, but I think his decision-making of when to go up some of the times was poor, and that's why he gave that yellow card away.
Well, what do you think would solve that problem? Because it's clear that Real Madrid seems to struggle more on the road, and I'm sure you've touched on this in the review as well. And actually, there's a couple of questions that we kind of bounce around here on Twitter. Maybe I'll take one question really quick because it's relevant to what we're talking about now. Wow, my question disappeared.
Was it from Ryan?
No, I found it. We'll get to Ryan in a second. But Nathaniel Bauer on Twitter, he asks, I like we're coming out with more energy and passion overall with Zidane. But how can we boss the midfield? How can we impose authority on the match tactically, not just dominate possession? I'm worried at big clubs. What's the problem? Because have we been able to pinpoint the problem that's happening in away games yet? I think maybe the teams that we play against come out of their shell a bit more than when they come to the Bernabeu and bunker up, which doesn't seem to be working for them. But maybe they're playing a bit more gung-ho when they're playing at home instead of coming to the Bernabeu. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that's expected. But I think we've seen teams play more aggressively against us than we've ever seen before. And I honestly think that's a good thing because it shows La Liga is improving as a whole. Teams are confident in taking on Madrid. But also that's a bad thing because it almost looks like they're targeting us when we go, you know, away from home. And that's not really something that should be happening. I'm not sure, like a lot of people, what exactly is the problem. But I just think we need to be more careful when going away. We can't exactly take teams like Real Betis and Granada for granted. I think, you know, that's why Zidane was before in the pre-match he emphasized so much on starting the game really well and trying to score early, because in previous matches, the first 5 to 10 minutes of the game, Real Madrid weren't controlling it. It was all the opposition team, and that's kind of how I felt it went today. And I just think, you know, mentally, Zidane's struggling to switch the team on. I think we're taking away teams for granted. And I think in the past, Ronaldo has bailed us out for that, right? Because, you know, his ability away from home has just been incredible. But this season, he's kind of just disappeared when playing away. And I think that's really hurt us.
Here's a solution for you. Hear me out. And I'm probably going to get flamed for this because anytime I bring up his name, I usually get some harsh feedback on Twitter. Casemiro. I'm thinking back to the Atletico game when we went to the Calderon, and Atletico, as they usually are, especially at home, especially against Real Madrid, they were hacking away, breaking legs and being ultra aggressive. But Casemiro was the one guy who really fought back and balanced the game and provided some, you know, an aggressive spark which ignited the team to fight Atletico in that manner. Why not insert him? Because there was a question on last week's podcast, basically, I don't know if it was in a mailbag or what it was, but if Zidane is going to rotate, and if he does, when is he going to do it, and who is he going to put in? And I'm thinking, when I look at the schedule, this is the tough part of the schedule, when you have Bilbao coming up, Roma coming up, and then Atletico. I was really hoping that this game in Granada would have been the one game where we start seeing some rotation and maybe giving, not that I thought Cruz was that bad today, I thought he was fine, but if Casemiro is there, maybe that provides a bit of steel and a bit of spark. And I know he's not an ideal, consistent starter, but in tough away games like this against smaller teams where the crowd is riled up, the team is riled up, and it's an aggressive game, I think Casemiro can do something there to help out in that scenario.
Right, I totally agree. I touched upon that a little in my article, and you know, I get Zidane wants to get the results and, you know, buy himself some time, you know, to iron out his philosophy by playing the starters, but playing his best players doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play his best team in certain situations. And I definitely think that Casemiro is a type of player for this game, right?
Right.
At home, you know, maybe you don't need him. I think Kroos is good enough. His passing ability is absolutely incredible, his distribution. But when Real Madrid is getting overloaded on the flanks, when teams are playing gutsy, pressing football against Real Madrid, I think you just need that presence in midfield, a man who's just going to run through everyone and basically barge people over, make tactical fouls, and that's who Casemiro is. That's why we've got him. And also, I think Kovacic can do a really good job out there as well. He's more of a box-to-box player than Isco or James is. I know Isco's, you know, learning that role, but I think Kovacic has dribbling ability that matches Isco, so he can still offer the same going forward, but he also has a better positional sense as a central midfielder, and I think he would have offered a lot of energy in Madrid's midfield, and I think he should have come on earlier than he did, and I think Boz also said that on Twitter, and I think what Kovacic and Casemiro can provide, I think Zidane needs to start using, whether he's entirely comfortable with doing so or not.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure. And I mean, the one thing I noticed was that Kroos, he was working hard to get into position, but I thought he was spreading himself a bit thin too, where he was trying to cover for a lot of the times Marcelo on the wings because Isco was far up the pitch to do that. So I don't know, maybe it's just even a matter of inserting an extra midfielder there in those tough away games where you know that teams are going to be a bit more attacking. You just want that extra presence in the midfield to pack the midfield, whether it's Kovacic or Casemiro, or maybe it's even the way, you know, if Zidane really wants Jesse in there as the next guy, put Jesse in there and drop James back a little bit. To me, also, this comes back a bit to Ronaldo. Obviously, this is the elephant in the room, and we have to talk about him. There was one play where I thought kind of exemplified his whole game was when he had Isco running down, overlapping, running the left flank, and he was trying to play a ball to Isco, but basically rolled it, and it was just a terrible pass, and Isco couldn't catch up to it, and then out of frustration just kicked the ball to the stands really hard. Do you remember that play?
Yeah. I saw that, and I thought it was a brilliant opportunity, and I thought, you know, Ronaldo's just going to kill this easy pass, and Isco's going to deliver a cross with his left foot, and we're going to get a goal. But I honestly don't know what to say about Ronaldo. I mean, I've been going back and forth, you know, on whether to sell him or not, about his form. You know, in the beginning, I was really behind Ronaldo. I'm like, he's been in these places before and he knows how to get out of them. But
right,
it seems every time he seems to get a bit of good form, something happens and he's just never able to get going. And I don't know why. He just looked flustered and frustrated. He didn't know what decision to make. And I don't think we're used to seeing Ronaldo so indecisive. You know, Ronaldo is such a confident player, it almost borders on arrogance sometimes, and whatever decision he makes, he sticks with it. But today he just looked really indecisive, and he just didn't know what pass to make, what shot to make, and it was really disconcerting.
You know, it's kind of puzzling for me, because a lot of people are saying, you know, myself I included, I said this too, that Ronaldo is so reliant on his athleticism that when you are and you get a bit older, then you start to see your form fade away quicker because, you know, as opposed to someone like Xabi Alonso, who never relied on athleticism just on his positioning and his distribution, he can play a bit later into his career. But a pass like what Ronaldo take to Isco, that's not really down to athleticism or anything. It's got to be something mental. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I don't know. I think we've talked about this a lot in the past on the site, on podcasts, mailbags, that I feel of Ronaldo, you know, but he needs to go in the summer. But you gotta, once he's here in the season, you have to stick with him. You can't, it's really going to be really difficult to rotate him, because it's not a person you can really rotate in. And we can give Zidane as much flack as we want to about not benching Ronaldo, but it's not really down to him. I think we all know that. And I think I don't think we can really blame Zidane for that. So here's something that was interesting to me. Benzema got a lot of criticism today, pretty much on any platform that I checked. And I was really surprised by this, because I thought Benzema was one of our better players. I thought he held the ball up well. I thought he worked hard defensively, and you know, maybe if there was a couple of moments where he misplaced passes or he should score, I don't think that's really on him. His form has been too good this season to really criticize that. Am I being biased here? Am I wearing Benzema sunglasses? Do you think the criticism is fair?
Well, I don't know if you should talk to me about being unbiased, since I'm a huge Benzema fanboy, but I think the criticism is unfair, as you know, the majority of criticism that comes from Madrid fans is. I mean, this is the guy that scored the goal, has the most opening goals in La Liga, and he gets a clear opportunity on goal. And I know Ronaldo's there, but when you're a predatory number nine who turns and doesn't know Ronaldo's going to be there, the instinct is to shoot. Benzema probably realized Ronaldo was there after he touched the ball, but, you know, I think... Yeah. I think the finish could have been better for sure. If you want to criticize Benzema, just say his finish on that play wasn't good. But that goalkeeper was insane form. I mean, the save he made on Modric's shot was crazy. And also to say that Benzema's a poor finisher, I think it's just, you're just denying the stats and just trying to continue a narrative that existed 2 to 3 years ago.
Yeah, to me, I mean, this is just basically Real Madrid fans being Real Madrid fans. Yeah. And these same guys who were criticizing him today will be basically singing his praises next week if he scores a hat-trick or something. I mean,
yeah,
Real Madrid fans are bipolar. We know this. It's not really a surprise to us, I guess, when we see this kind of criticism. James Rodriguez, what did you think? He was kind of not as involved as I hoped he would be. And I thought he had one beautiful pass in the first half, cross-field, long ball to, now I can't remember if it was Ronaldo or if it was someone else, but overall it's a pretty quiet game from him. Any observations from James?
To be honest, I didn't notice him that much. I didn't focus on him that as much as I should have, but that's probably because he was just quiet throughout the game. I looked at the heat maps afterwards, and I noticed that James oddly was positioned deeper than Isco, which is funny because Isco was an LCM and James was the right winger in the formation. So I think James was trying to drop deeper to get the ball and recycle possession, because if you notice, there was this period in the first half where our possession was just really slow. The tempo was just insanely slow, and we were just passing the ball around, trying to work it up the pitch, make 100 passes, and James continually tried to drop deep to provide an outlet in possession and then try to bomb upwards. But, you know, I don't think that's necessarily James's game when he's on the right wing. I think he needs to receive it there combined with Carvajal and just kind of curl it in. But I think the ball was concentrated to other areas, and I just think, you know, the game just passed by James.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I would like to see him more involved as well, like just overall with the flow of the game. And to be fair, I didn't really notice Kovacic either when he came on, but I was also busy writing the immediate reaction. So if he did anything, my apologies. I didn't really tune into the last quarter of an hour or so. I have an interesting question here from Rambo Kunga. Rambo_Kunga. Who would replace CR, assuming Bale takes left wing? James too slow for right wing? Better player in the market? No. Left wing player, please. That's a bit all over the place. What that has to do with Twitter's 140 character limit.
Yeah.
Essentially, he's asking who can replace Cristiano Ronaldo. If Bale goes to left wing, then James is probably too slow for the right wing. are there any better players on the market? I don't, this is maybe the third week straight we've had to talk about this, but I don't know where this theory is coming from that James can't play on the right wing.
So I totally agree with you. I mean, it's maybe in this match, if, you know, Bale was on the right wing and he would, you know, he was faster, he would have been able to drop deep and come up faster. But James is good on the right wing as he is anywhere. I mean, the way he cuts inside and provides those curling, you know, crosses in, you know, when he cuts inside, provides those through balls, you know, he just can do so much on the right. And he's like an advanced playmaker on the right wing who just does so much. So, I mean, I don't think we really need anyone to replace CR.
No, I agree. I mean, essentially, James is going to become Ronaldo's replacement, right, in an ideal world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. I mean, again, James, with Monaco, that's where he made his name, was on the right wing. And maybe he is a bit slower than Bale, obviously, but how many people are as fast as Bale? And James, he kind of makes up for me with his football IQ. And if you watch him for Colombia, he's much more dynamic. He's, you know, as a focal point, he can dribble, he can play with speed. And, you know, I mean, these positions are not really stagnant anyway. If Bale plays on the left and James is on the right, they kind of interchange as the game goes on. But it really amazes, I have to say, it really amazes me the number of people who are still looking for a replacement for Ronaldo, and when he's right there, he's already on our team. We don't need to mess with it, really.
Yeah, I think that's just down to the mentality Madrid fans have. I mean, we expect players to come in every year, and even though we don't want players, we still kind of have this, you know, thoughts in the back of our mind, okay, who's the next Galactico signing coming in? I think we have enough Galactico signings on our team already.
Yeah, 100%. So here's a question from Ryan_07. Do you guys agree with fullbacks being a crucial component in Zizou's attacks? Or Zizou's tactics, sorry. What do you think?
Well, I feel very strongly about this, and it's a small sample size, but from what I've seen so far, I think because of the way Zidane plays, it's classic possession football. You have the central midfielders dictating everything. You have the front three playing very narrow, and the fullbacks have to provide the width, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing, as they create overloads, and tough defenses just simply can't handle that, especially when the fullbacks are as good as Marcelo and Carvajal. But I think Zidane is relying on them too much. I think I've seen in the games in the past where Carvajal and Marcelo push up at the same time, and that just leaves so much space at the back. And at home, we can kind of get away with that, right? Because it's the Bernabeu, and we dominate the game, and teams just, you know, sit back in their shell. But when we go away from home and Zidane wants to play the same way, that worries me, because, you know, it's not really going to work. And I think we've seen that so far. And I know it's only two away games, but from what I know of Zidane's philosophy, I'm not too convinced he's going to change it, because this is how he wants to play. This is his dream style of playing.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I guess what concerns me is, apart from how great it is that we basically blow away teams at the Bernabeu, and like you said, the attacking fullbacks are really hard to cope with, especially when you factor in all these attacking players that Real Madrid has and all these midfielders who can dissect a defense, and they just have basically an extra outlet on the flanks. Away from home, obviously, that causes problems. But also, Marcelo, for example, is not really the type of fullback you can put on the pitch and tell him stay back.
Right.
Right? I mean, whereas opposed to, like, I think maybe it's like games like this where you start to appreciate players like Coentrão, who, how many times did Mourinho and Ancelotti use him in tough away games and say, Coentrão, and, you know, you trust him. You can say, we need you back there, basically. And then you don't. And if Carvajal is up, Coentrão is home. And Coentrão is one of those players that can attack pretty intelligently, and he knows when to go forward. And he's also pretty solid defensively. I think these are the games you see Coentrão being missed. Not that we should need someone like Coentrão in an away game against Granada, but But in the end, you need your squad depth, right? I
Right.
mean, if we say like players like Casemiro are going to be useful, so would players like Coen Trau. I think it's still a bit mind-boggling to me that we actually loaned him out. But yeah, that's going to be interesting, something to keep an eye on. I guess a good measuring stick is when we play Barca. How are we gonna to cope with in the Camp Nou? If we are going to push up our fullbacks like this, it's kind of suicidal against someone like Barca.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of come to accept that Marcelo is the kind of fullback that he is. I mean, he's the opposite of Gareth Bale. He's a converting winger into a fullback, so he's always going to be that kind of attacking presence. So I think what Ancelotti did was he made sure there was always a back three. Carvajal was very good offensively under Ancelotti, but you never saw his full offensive potential because Ancelotti always held him back a little bit. And if Ancelotti didn't, we paid for it at the back. So I think as long as we have a back three and you have someone like Isco or Modric coming the left side, you know, I think it's fine. There might be a couple chances where other teams will find shots on goal, but because of the way we dominate the ball and because of the way we play, I feel like as long as we have a back three, we're solid. But as soon as I see Marcelo and Carvajal both bomb up at the same time, I cover my eyes because I know Cruz isn't fully developed in his position and Ramos is erratic and Ferran's positioning could be a little suspect. So, you know, you can't have them do it at the same time. And I think Zidane will learn that soon enough. I just hope he learns it quick enough.
I'm with you 100% there. Let's we can look at the upcoming schedule pretty quickly. This is a tough part of the season, I mean, we have Bilbao coming up. That's obviously going to be tough. Maybe not as tough because it's at the Bernabeu, and San Mamés is obviously a completely different animal. Going there is always tough to the Basque country, but I'm a bit wary of Roma. I'm wary not because they're necessarily a great team. I think there's plenty to be taken advantage of them, but they are going to bunker up. And Italy is a tough place to play in. Like, you know, I remember a few years ago we went to Rome and we dominated possession and we looked good. And I think Raul scored, and now my memory's slipping, but I think we may have lost that game 2-1 or something. So, you know, if we don't get a good result in Rome, it's going to be tough coming back from the Bernabeu because Roma's basically just going to bunker up. And probably, you know, if they can nick an away goal or something here and there, I think it'll be tough. I'm not saying Real Madrid won't advance. I think they definitely are the overwhelming favorites and for good reason, but I think it's going to be a bit tougher than what people envision it. And also Real Madrid struggle in Italy historically.
Right. I think the away game is really key because, you know, it's gonna be an absolute cauldron of an atmosphere, you know, away at Roma. The fans are gonna be totally behind their team, you know, because they're the underdogs, but they're also a capable team. They've got players like Nainggolan, they've got Dzeko, they've got Salah, and you know, these are players that can hurt us. And I think Roma, you know, they have the players to kind of play that counter-attacking style if they want to. They've got Pjanic, who is an absolutely brilliant playmaker. So, you know, we have to be super careful away from home. And I think if we decide to, you know, push up both fullbacks the way we've done before, I think that's going to really, really hurt us. So, you know, that will be a huge test for Zidane and his tactical acumen and kind of how does he shut down players like Pjanic and Dzeko? Because I feel like Pjanic right now is, you know, he's just kind of carrying Roma at the moment, and I think, you know, shutting him down, you know, whether he's going to use Casemiro to man mark him or something like that would be key, because if we shut out the supply lines, then we dominate the game and then we're overwhelming favorites.
I'll be quite honest, I'd be shocked if we see Casemiro starting in that game. We know pretty well what Zidane's go-to lineup is, and if Casemiro's not going to get in Granada, I think Zidane will go with his so-called best lineup. I think it's basically just going to be Real's going to have a ton of possession in Rome as well, and like you said, they're just going to have to watch the counterattack. It's going to be tough.
If we're gonna play the same way, then Modric will have to have an even better game than he did today, which is kind of crazy. But if you I think all Madrid fans have noticed by now that, when we start, tilting to the offensive side too much, when we kind of lose our balance, it's kind of Luka Modric who's diving in, making these tackles, that gives us back possession and gives us control of the game, because Kroos does, does an admirable job. I don't like it when people say Kroos is poor defensively, because that's not true. The problem is he's not as mobile as Luka Modric, just can't cover the same ground as him. And I just think Modric will have to be immense that game if we decide to play in the same Cavalier style that we have, because in this match, I think there was Isaac's success on the left wing. Marcelo was nowhere to be seen, and he tried to take on Modric with a good skill, and Modric just took him out, won the ball, and it's difficult to see Marcelo doing that on a consistent basis.
Right. And I mean, well, I haven't watched Roma that much this season, but is De Rossi still starting?
I'm not really sure either, but he's really old now, isn't he? So I'd be concerned for Roma if he still was.
Well, that's what I mean. I think Real Madrid has definitely some advantages there in the midfield. Interesting to see if Bale will be back by then, and if he is, will he start?
I'm really worried about this situation, actually, because this happens so many times, with clubs, and I'm not a professional player, but I play football with the team on a regular basis, and I know the basic mentality of a player is we just don't care about injuries. Our first instinct is to go out and play. I played with plenty of knocks before, because it's all about short-term thinking. You just have this desire to play football, and with the amount of times Bale has gotten injured, I just know that he's not being entirely honest with his medical team about the state of his injuries, and I'm not exactly sure if he's ready for the Roma game. If he is, sure, we really need Bale, but I don't know how to really explain it, but there's just this feeling that, Bale's going to come back, he'll do well in the Roma game, then 3 weeks later there's going to be a problem with his calf again.
Well, it's, of all games to come back in, it's not an easy one to come back in, and also Roma is going to play very compact. There's not going to be much space as well, where Bale usually thrives in space. Yeah. Although I think he's a bit better in tight spaces than people give him credit for. But it kind of reminds me of the last game. Was it which game was it? He had just come back from injury. Was it against Barca?
Yeah, I think it might have been Barca, and I think Bale took massive criticism for that game. Or it might have been his second game back, but the whole BBC line took criticism when, in reality, Bale had been out for a long time. I think Benzema might have been out. But it's a tough game for Bale to come back in. But I don't think tight spaces will be that much of a problem for him as it's been before, because this season his dribbling,
it's improved, right?
The effectiveness of his dribbling has improved a lot. I think last season I was too harsh on Bale with a lot of other fans. I don't think I was as bad as some fans, but I kind of had this negative idea that, Bale's just a poor dribbler, who can only knock the ball and run past players. And this season, he's been immense, surrounded by a couple of defenders, and he just turns past them. So I think we need him for Roma, but, I'm just worried about the true state of his medical affairs.
Right. I'm going to kind of bring it back here, because there's probably two players we forgot to talk about in today's game, Ramos and Varane.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on the center backs today.
Well, I thought Ramos was good. He's vocal as usual, constantly trying to, organize the back line. But I thought Varane and Ramos just had too much to do. I think whenever the ball crosses or through balls came towards them, they were decisive. I think Varane, his position was a little suspect. I think Varane gets away with this too much, because we love him so much and we think, he's going to become the best center back in the world. He relies on his pace a little bit too much to cover, but I think in this game, for the most part, he covered. I thought Ramos was immense. He's going to be underrated, but for the most part, he dealt everything that came his way. The only trouble I can think of them having is when Isaac's success cut into the box a couple of times, but I've accepted by now that our defense is just not that great at handling skilled dribblers, but I think in terms of positioning and, facing wave after wave of attack, I think Ramos and Varane did a very good job in addition to Keylor Navas.
Right, and Keylor Navas is something another one that we didn't really touch on, but I thought he was fantastic. I did see a couple rumblings on Twitter criticizing him, but I thought the timing in which he came out of his goal was phenomenal, and maybe his clearance on Granada's disallowed goal wasn't the best, but I mean if he's not coming out there and trying to get that ball, Granada are probably going to score. So kudos to Keylor Navas.
Right. He's not the best with his feet, but his speed when coming off the line is absolutely crucial. And I may have been a bit easy on Ramos and Varane because I forgot about Navas's clearances, but I think Zidane was instructing the back line to have a very high line. And when you're gonna do that, and when Granada were playing Route One football, Keylor Navas had to be there in kind of Neuer style, sweeper keeper. And Navas did his job really well. He also had a really good save on a corner kick. Even though the dramatic there with the save, but I thought it was really good. And the only criticism I can think of him is on the goal he conceded, when maybe he showed too much space at the far post. But I really don't think that goal was his fault.
Right. Well, I think we've pretty much touched on everything we can about the game in Granada today. So, Real Madrid have a tough upcoming schedule. We have a game against Bilbao and then Roma. We have an exciting month coming in February in Real Madrid land. And we really hope you guys enjoy the podcast today. So, from myself and from Om, who made his debut all the way from India, we hope you enjoy, and Hala Madrid.
All of you.